Good morning. John Hockenberry is away today, and we have Todd Zwillick from Capital News Connection here with us, and he's going to be riding along as we begin talking about the new Congress and the new administration to be, at least in a couple of days. Good morning and welcome, Todd.
Thank you, Adora. Good morning.
And we're going to start on Capitol Hill, someplace you're very familiar with. At today's hearing before the Senate Judiciary Committee, Attorney General nominee Eric Holder is expected to undergo some tough questioning, not so much on his qualifications, but really on his old controversies, the most prominent being the role he played in President Bush's pardon of fugitive financier Mark Rich. Jeff Rosen has much more on this. He's a law professor at George Washington University, and he's also the legal affairs editor of The New Republic and the author of The Supreme Court, The Personalities and Rivalries That Defined America. And he joins us now from Washington. Good morning and welcome, Jeff.
Good morning.
Now, when Eric Holder was nominated, it was clear there was going to be some tough questions. But it seems the scrutiny has really gotten harder and harder as the day has drawn near to the beginning of the hearings.
It has. I think Republicans who are frustrated with their inability to get much traction on other Obama nominees are focusing on him and are giving him everything they've got.
And what are they digging into besides the Mark Rich pardon? There's certainly the list is getting longer and longer.
It is. As you say, the Mark Rich pardon has always been the center of the focus, but there's also scrutiny about pardon granted to 16 Puerto Rican nationalists who were suspected terrorists. Their pardons were enthusiastically opposed by the people within the Justice Department and lots of others, but Holder took the lead in arguing for this pardon. It was granted. There was a political firestorm. Some said that Hillary Clinton was encouraging it to sort of get Latino votes for her senatorial bids and presidential bids, and that's going to be another big focus as well.
So are you saying in part that it's just not Eric Holder's lucky week, that Republicans couldn't find more on other nominees, so they've really dug in and focused on him?
That explains a lot of it. But, of course, Holder was vulnerable because these pardons have always been extremely controversial. They took place a long time ago, but they're a natural focus for controversy. But I don't think they're going to be the only heat that he gets. There's also been increased scrutiny of his representation of corporate clients. The Chiquita Corporation, for example, which he represented and managed to negotiate a deal with to stop a prosecution. And some people are saying that the fact that he's represented all these corporate clients will make it harder for him to prosecute financial crimes and the architects of the financial meltdown. So I think there's going to be a lot of scrutiny about that as well.
Jeff, this is Todd Zwillick. Republican senators on Judiciary have been going around this week talking about the Mark Rich pardon and the Puerto Rican nationalist pardons, of course, and saying, well, he's more or less admitted that he made mistakes on this. Has he really admitted that? And if so, has that already diffused some of the fire, some of the energy that they'll get out of questioning him about it?
He hasn't quite admitted it. It's interesting. He said that in hindsight, he wishes that he'd ensured that the whole Justice Department was more involved in and informed about the pardon. And in fact, much of the objection had been procedural. People said that he should have deferred to the recommendation of prosecutors in New York and instead didn't inform them. But he hasn't actually said point blank that he now thinks the pardon was wrong. So I'd be interested in having him asked exactly that question. And I'm not sure exactly what he'd say.
Well, can I ask a stupid question that I've always wondered about with the Eric Holder controversy and the Mark Rich pardon? The Constitution says that the presidential power of pardon is complete and absolute. And if that's the case and the Constitution says that, in the end, who really cares what a deputy attorney general had to say about it?
Well, it's a very good question. It's not stupid at all. And in fact, as you suggest, constitutionally, there's nothing more to be said. The president's power is absolute, and no one is doubting that Clinton had the authority to grant this pardon. The question is, was it sold? Was it a quid pro quo? Was it wise? And Holder might make the enthusiastic case, you know, substantively, there was nothing wrong with this pardon. We concluded that...
I don't think he's going to go there, Jeff. Something tells me that he's probably going to leave that alone.
Some of his advisors are saying this guy was treated differently. These crimes were prosecuted civilly after 1989, and he paid hundreds of thousands of dollars in restitution. So, you know, what's to apologize about? But you're absolutely right. Politically, it would be foolish. Much better to fall on your sword, say mistakes were made, and try to move on.
Let's talk about the flip side of Eric Holder, the non-controversial or seemingly non-controversial parts of his resume. He's been described as a very fair and strong prosecutor, someone who is very good at bringing together office people in his offices, that there's a general sense of camaraderie that he would bring to the attorney general's office. You agree?
I do. I think one of the things he cared most about was being fair within the Justice Department, ensuring that there was no partisanship in decisions made by lower-level bureaucrats. And that's so important in an age when not only was the Gonzales Justice Department criticized for firing people on political grounds, but recently Gonzales persuaded a Justice Department office to pay for the legal fees in the cases against him. Some said that was irregular, and that's the sort of thing that Holder really wouldn't do. He cares a lot about being nonpartisan in areas like that.
Hey, Jeff, this is Todd Zwillick again. Of course, U.S. attorney hirings, hirings and firings were a huge controversy during the second half of the Bush administration under Alberto Gonzales. Eight, nine, or ten attorneys fired, ostensibly for political reasons. That's the accusation anyway. Has Holder ever commented on that process, and do we have any indication that any of those attorneys who were hired under strange circumstances or questionable circumstances might lose their jobs under his leadership?
Interesting. I don't know whether he's commented on the Bush firings. He certainly commented on other irregularities, criticizing Gitmo and things like that. But there's such a tradition of not hiring people on purely partisan grounds or firing them that I wouldn't imagine that individual people would be targeted or things like that. But it's a good question, and it just is another wrinkle of the complications he's going to face to try to clear up this mess.
Well, let's just assume that Eric Holder makes it through the fire today, which even his critics say is most likely to happen. What do you think the Attorney General's office is going to look like under Eric Holder?
There will be a very interesting division between pragmatists and true liberal believers. There are some civil libertarians in top offices, like the new head of the important Office of Legal Counsel, who might argue for closing Guantanamo as quickly as possible and even supporting some war crimes prosecutions of Bush officials. Other people.
Do you think really that the Obama administration is going to be looking back and seeing whether or not some action should be taken against those who were involved in those policies?
Well, Obama and Holder have both said they're not reluctant to look back and they want to move forward and they're going to resist those calls, but both within the Justice Department and, more importantly, on Capitol Hill and in the political community as a whole, lots of liberals are going to be disappointed with that decision. And one of the first things Holder is going to have to do is decide how to respond to liberals who feel that Obama has become too moderate and has disappointed them, not only on Gitmo, but on questions like surveillance prosecutions, even on judicial nominees. There's going to be a division between pragmatic moderates and liberal true believers. Holder will have to adjudicate it. And if I had to bet, I would put him more on the pragmatic side. I mean, remember, this is a man who is trusted by police and prosecutors for being very tough on crime. He does have a streak of questioning the ratcheting up of drug sentences, and he favors community policing, so he's not a traditional lock-em-up kind of guy, but also not someone who's most concerned about the views of the ACLU. So in this debate, I think I'd put him on the pragmatic side.
Well, Jeff, what's it likely to be like today when he's being attacked or questioned harshly? I'm curious what his personality is like. Is he the kind of guy who will let tough questions sort of roll over him and answer them with equanimity, or does he shoot back at people like Jeff Sessions?
Equanimity is a good word. He's very calm, measured. He doesn't get roiled very easily. You know, I'd imagine if he felt an attack was unfair, he would respond to it. But this is someone with a very calm, even friendly temperament, and I certainly don't think you're going to see him sweating and screaming and shaking his fist or anything like that.
But there could be some fireworks. Senator Arlen Specter, who sits at the head of that committee, has said some pretty harsh things about Eric Holder.
He has, and how interesting those exchanges will be. Specter really threw down the gauntlet and said the Attorney General has to be completely independent of the President. And if we're lucky, Holder might reflect on exactly how independent the AG should be. I mean, you might say the best ones from Bobby Kennedy on up have really been trusted by the President, and it's the least successful ones from certainly John Ashcroft to Janet Reno to some degree, who had so little relationship with the President that they couldn't really advocate for the Justice Department's position in Congress and in debates with the White House, and as a result were cut out of the most important debates.
And I think it's abundantly clear that Eric Holder certainly has a strong relationship with President-elect Barack Obama. Jeff Rosen, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Jeff Rosen is a professor of law at George Washington University and legal affairs editor for the New Republic.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.